Well, it's been a few weeks and good reason, but also I want to announce some changes. So for 7 years, I have podcasted week in, week out, without fail, until the end of last year. Even as I have moved through the biggest shit in my life, I still showed up every week to share. And then I took a break over the Christmas holidays because I just needed to spend time with my family and not have the pressure of getting something out every week. And I found I didn't miss it as much as I had thought I would. For a while now, I've kind of been questioning whether or not I was doing this because I wanted to, or whether I was doing it to prove something to myself and to the people around me, that I could be consistent as fuck for years on end and just keep going regardless of what happens in my life. But I'm a human, and actually, in human design terms, I don't have a defined heart. Sticking to something for this long isn't natural for me. I'm splenic. I'm here to operate in the moment. And in some ways, the podcast has given me the opportunity to do that because every week I've gone for a walk and I've pressed record and I haven't known what's going to come out. And something comes out, right? It's been such a fabulous exercise in speaking in the moment, speaking my truth, sharing and showing up to figure out who I am and what I'm about and to practice using my voice. But having that break just highlighted that I don't really necessarily want to be here week in, week out. And for a while now, I've been questioning if there's value in that for you. And yeah, if you're listening to it, there's obviously value in it for you. I guess I'm just thinking, is this the best use of my time and my skills? And is this where I see myself going in the future? The last few weeks have been rough. I had a huge kind of sinus infection thing that really knocked me for a six. And I spent a week in bed. It was hideous. I took various rats and all came back negative. So I don't think it was COVID, but it really knocked me about. And I had this moment after a week, I kind of woke up on the Sunday feeling like, oh, I'm back. And I had this inspiration for running some programs, which I haven't had probably since, well, I can't even tell you the last time I actually felt inspired to run really much at all, other than my human design sessions. I just haven't, right? Like with Miko's heart surgery, the pandemic, and all the other shit that's been going on in the world, I just haven't really felt that inspired. But I woke up this morning and I was like, oh yes, I want to run a podcaster's boot camp, a month long with, you know, people to help them kind of refine their show on that. And then I started having conversations with people and it showed me that there were like kind of two distinct groups of people who could use my help at the moment. And one was people who are yet to get a podcast off the ground. And the other was people who have had a show, they've probably done Radcasters, and they're really looking to pivot or rebrand or launch a new show. Maybe not really sure of where they're going with it, but they want to do this really well the second time. And so I kind of went about announcing that I might be doing something like that, and then the floods hit. So I live in the Northern Rivers of New South Wales in Australia, and we have been hit by the biggest floods in living history. Like 2-3 meters above what has been the biggest floods in history. There are thousands of homes completely destroyed. There are thousands and thousands of people now displaced from their homes. The cleanup effort has been just like, you can't, if you're not here, you just cannot imagine the devastation. It has been huge. And so the last 2 weeks, I've just been focused on getting through the day, helping my friends in any way I can. I did, it's so weird. I did like some Instagram stories of me, a friend of mine had given me a box. You know, we all have one of those boxes that is the most precious of our things. And it's in the, it's often in the garage. And it's got photos from our childhood and memories and notes and keepsakes and, school photos and reports and all that kind of jazz is in there. Tickets to old gigs we went to. I've got one. I know most people I know have one of these boxes, and it's usually in a big plastic tub with a lid on it. But during these floods, the water sat around for so long that these boxes all got inundated with water. Everything got inundated with water. And so a dear friend of mine messaged to see if I'd be willing to pick up the box and just see what I could salvage. And my background is actually in photography. So for many years, probably about a decade, I worked in a lab, I printed photos. I was a photographer at Madame Tussauds. This is random shit you probably don't know about me. I was a photographer at Madame Tussauds. I was the top salesperson at one of Australia's biggest camera stores. I worked in the digital department. This was like 25 years ago. And then I went on to work as a sales rep for a big multinational photographic company. So my background is definitely in photographic. So this was within my skill set. I knew that if we could keep the photos damp, then we could potentially save them. And I managed to, over 2 days of just painstaking peeling photos from each other and trying to clean them in fresh water, I managed to save, probably thousands of photos. But that's kind of what my life has been like, making sure that friends have undies because they don't right now. Or, just all that simple stuff we don't think about when we leave the home with what we have on our back and not much more than that. Thinking that, hey, the worst floods on record aren't even going to scrape my front doorstep, and instead it's in the second level of the house trashing everything. It's been full on. It's been really a full on couple of weeks, and it's been interesting to watch the response and be part of it too, but really watch what the public response was. This area, as you may have, if you've been listening to Carlosophies during the pandemic, you'll know that I lost a lot of people from my community because due to what was happening in my life, I was very passionate about making sure people had accurate information to base their decisions on whether or not to have the vaccine, right? Like there was just so much misinformation being spread, and it felt harmful and hurtful to me personally because this, if my husband had caught COVID, he would have been one of those people who, a lot of my friends were just so quick to write off as in like, well, it's only, like the death rate is only blah, blah percent, mostly based on not true evidence. And it's only the people who have underlying health conditions anyway. That felt so deeply personal and hurtful for me at the time. It really did. And so I was quite vocal in speaking up about this stuff. And it meant that I lost a lot of people from within my Instagram community and my life. People didn't want to hear it. And so bye-bye. It was really painful. But I am who I am. I'm always going to be outspoken on the things that matter to me, and I'm always going to, in human design, I have an undefined head and Ajna, and I have this ability, and also I have my view is wanting. So what this combination of things means is that open head and Ajna can see all different perspectives. I don't have a predetermined set of predispositions or beliefs. I'm not rigid in my thinking. I can see a lot of nuance where there's truth over there. I can also see truth over here. I'm very open-minded and it's in my human design. That view wanting is all about the way I view the world. And And part of that, part of wanting, is being able to see what's missing. I'm very good at looking at something and then going, hang on, well, what about this perspective? Or like, what about if we did this? What if we just tweaked this a little bit? I can see what people want and I can see what's missing, right? And so while I'm watching this building, you know, like rhetoric around the government and them not being present, it triggered my my view and my open ajna to go into, I have answers, you know, and sometimes the open head is all about like, you know, am I focused on the things that matter? Maybe and maybe not, I don't know. But for me, I was like, okay, I can see how people feel so abandoned by our government right now. But I can also see that there is a real agenda, the same way there was with the vaccine stuff. I can see it playing out again, but in terms of, you know, the anti-establishment. And so criticizing, like it's very easy to criticize something that we don't understand. And most people don't even have a basic level of understanding about the different levels of government and what their jurisdictions and responsibilities are, right? And so it's just like this blanket term that's thrown out there, the government, and like an omnipresent force that has total control. And that's not the case, right? Like we live in a democracy. And I feel like at the moment our democracy is kind of being attacked. And it's just been a really interesting thing to witness. And I, you know, put a few things out into the world about that. And I had some backlash and I had some people who also had a lot of insights and things to add. And you know, I could see all different perspectives on it. But I think sometimes this whole, you know, there, I don't know, like when we start seeing this groundswell of like, I think the thing that I had the problem with is that most of those people, you know, were saying, where are the ADF? While I'm here in my house watching them fly over and over and over and over again. And I was like, hang on, the ADF are here. And so, you know, so I was like, it just triggered something in me. And so I went to the ADF website to see who they had, you know, what kind of numbers of people they had here. They had 5 choppers. They had about 70 personnel in the initial days here, because this area was completely inaccessible. You couldn't get here by road. You couldn't fly in big planes because our airports were underwater. You know, there was logistics that meant that you couldn't just like drive some tanks in and start getting to work. But also that's not the way the government works. There are like, they're not in, and it is a criticism, a worthy criticism, that they weren't quick enough in their response. Like this is true. They weren't quick enough in their response, because there were people, you know, the local community really stepped in and they were out there on jet skis and boats pulling people out of roofs. But to say that the army, where were you? Like, it shows a kind of a lack of understanding. But also there is this, what do they call it? Like, hang on, it'll come to me. But in the meantime, I wanted to also say, like, you know, there was also this stuff around there was still this vaccine stuff going on during all of this. Like, I remember seeing one video that got shared around so much, and it was a dude who was talking about how the army and police he knew couldn't get involved because they weren't vaccinated. And that's just complete and utter bullshit, because there are no mandates on the police or the army to be vaccinated. It's not part of the requirement for them to keep their jobs. It is highly encouraged, but it is not mandated. So there is no reason for people who are in the police force or ADF not to be able to be in their jobs helping, because there are no mandates stopping them from that. You know, it's just stuff like that that I kind of listen to, and my smell cognition in human design, that I can just smell some things off. And then my first line as the investigator, I have to dig deeper. I have to understand why would they, you know, what actually is the truth here? I want to understand this. And so I go digging and I find information that often is contrary to the narrative that is being spread far and wide. And so I'll go about kind of saying, like, just trying to bring in a voice that is neither pro nor against. Because I am neither pro nor against. I can see in the vaccine debate, I have nothing, like, I've never wanted to force people to get the vaccine. That was never my intention. I wanted them to make an educated decision based on actual facts rather than heated emotional, misinformation that was being spread. Like, come back to find out what the actual facts are. What is the legitimacy of the information that you're reading? And it's the same, you know, it was the same with this. I just could see, hang on, that's not the whole truth. What is the whole truth? Like, don't skew things for your agenda. There's a lot that I want to talk about clearly today. There's another thing that I want to talk about. So in Human Design, we, like, as far as it being a cult, one of the things that has made me go, it could be, is the classic end of days. And in Human Design, we don't necessarily have end of days, but we have the end of the cross of planning, which is set to take place in 2027, and we're feeling the energy of it now according to Human Design. And what the cross of planning has done for us has given us the structure. It's given us the rules and the regulations and the organization for us to live, you know, through this phase of industrial revolution and, and mass population of the planet, so that we could organize ourselves and so that we could have these rules governing us. And as we move into 2027, we're moving into the cross of the sleeping phoenix, which is a different energy altogether, and it is all about it's an individual kind of energy. So in Human Design, the theory is that all of this stuff is crumbling at the moment to make space for this new evolution of humans. And it's very complex, and I'm not going to go into details on it, but, like, sometimes I find myself wondering, or is this just a big old case of confirmation bias? You know, like, I do sometimes wonder that with Human Design. I love it. I've been doing a lot of sessions on it. What I love about it most, excuse the dogs in the background, they've been going crazy all week. What I love most about it is the liberation that it offers people. They can see, you know, parts of who they are and find forgiveness for those parts. And they can really then double down on the bits of, you know, the bits of their design that really resonate with them. They can own it, really own it. And the bits of, the bits around, like, the open head and Ajna can be like, I don't know what to focus on. I'm kind of here, there, scattered, a little bit scattered. It can help us to find acceptance for those parts of us, but also a deeper understanding of how we are different to other people. I often find myself in judgment of people who have more black and white thinking, who have a set of predispositions and preferences that means that confirmation bias really just solidifies things, and they're very certain that their version of the truth is the truth. But actually, they're designed that way. You know, it's actually who they are. They are here to have a fixed way of seeing the world, where I'm not. I am here to see nuance. I am, you know, like, this is what I love about design, probably is the confirmation bias, because it has really allowed me to go, yes, I'm going to own this. This is who I am. And it's just given me permission to be who I am and to not be the person who has to be able to hold space for everyone, not be the person that has to make everyone feel okay for who they are and how they see the world. Instead, just, like, give them permission to be who they are. Like, I don't have to make it okay for them. You know, it's okay for me to live in my own design, and it's okay for them to live in their own design. We don't have to get along. We don't have to agree. We can have different perspectives, and I can choose whether or not I want to consume your perspectives or not. So big kind of all over the place episode, but that's what life is for me at the moment. It is big and it is all over the fucking place. And for the next, I don't even know how long, I'm just going to show up here when I feel like it, when I have something I want to unpack, when I have something that I want to say, when I have something that I've been exploring on Instagram and I want to dig further, or when there's an invitation. You know, if someone wants to know, I did that episode before Christmas, which was about confidence. Somebody had sent me a, you know, they wanted me to unpack confidence. I love doing shit like that. You know, so if an invitation to cover something comes up, or I feel like I've just got so much to say and I need to be able to expand just free flow form, then there will be episodes for you. But I'm kind of over the forcing myself to show up week in, week out with something, you know, with the pressure of something profound to say when there really isn't anything, because my life is messy. Everybody's life is messy. There's no fucking certainty in anything. We really are living in this age of uncertainty right now, right? And so for me, sometimes this space has felt really useful and helpful, and other times it's felt really like hard, hard work. And I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I don't have to prove that I can be consistent. I don't have to prove that I can show up, you know, whatever fucking life throws at me to use my voice. I don't have to prove that. I've done it for 7 years and I'm done with proving it. So instead, I'm going to show up when I feel like there's just so much bubbling up inside me that I need to express and get out into the world. So you may find that that some of these episodes are going to be really emotional and probably a little triggering. But hey, I got the gator shuck. So let's roll with it. All right. Well, that is it for me today. Until next time, whenever that may be, thank you for listening. Peace out.